According to the Apostle Paul, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Dr. James W. Brueggemann is a longtime Bible student who strives to bring the truly good news of Jesus Christ to all through Stone Kingdom Ministries. We invite you to discover the many resources at stonekingdom.org. For a printed sample of Dr. Brueggemann's monthly publication, Feed My Sheep, and a copy of our catalog, write to Stone Kingdom Ministries, Post Office Box 5695, Asheville, North Carolina, zip code 28813. It is only through your generous support that this ministry continues. Thank you for sustaining us. Now, from the Stone Kingdom Ministries 2011 Passover Resurrection Bible Conference in Manassas, Virginia, here is Ron Oja.
Remember how I started off yesterday, guys? Stone which the builders rejected. And the women are in Scripture called the capstone. The women have been rejected. I mean, that's all recorded from yesterday. The hour of the acceptance is upon us. There's what's called a displacement factor associated with the capstone of the Great Pyramid. Where's me Irish brethren? In your usual spot in the back. So, this displacement factor was discovered in the 1800s by the engineers that went to examine the Great Pyramid, and they discovered, and I'm doing this from memory. I haven't looked at this, had a chance to in quite a long time, but it was discovered that the pyramid as it was built was 286.1 inches short of the four cornerstone foundation points. All four points, it's short. And so the capstone, it was theorized, was rejected. It's the only pyramid in Egypt that never had a capstone. Now think the woman and the capstone. All right. The capstone, it's theorized, was rejected because if they built the capstone out to the four cornerstone points, it would overhang by 286.1 inches on the four sides combined. This number shows up throughout the Great Pyramid. It's called the displacement factor. This whole Manassas thing, ever since we started, we've known it's about bringing the woman back to her rightful place. And we have said this conference in particular, the third, which is the capstone conference, is about the beginning of that displacement factor being adjusted. We use the numbers 144, 153, and 204 yesterday, 204 being the capstone. The Father requires a double witness for everything that he does, including his capstone. Last fall, when we met at Sweetwater for the third and what we believe is the final time, we met beginning on the second day of Tabernacles. We arrived on the first day of Tabernacles, which was September 23rd. That's the morning that I saw for the first time that the word Mara actually occurs three times in Exodus 15:23, confirming we absolutely have to go to Mara three times for the water to become sweet. Then the third meeting at Manassas, the capstone one, is the beginning of the manifestation because this is the second 204. Last year was important because September 23rd last year, 9:23 of 1-0, was exactly 204 years to the day from when Lewis and Clark returned from their trip with the news of the double portion. All right, the news of the double portion. What do I mean by that? The Louisiana Purchase, when it was made by President Jefferson, literally doubled the size of the United States geographically in one day. And remember that we said the only sign given is the sign of Jonah. And Jonah's name means dove. Jonah's name means dove. Oops. Jonah. Dove. And the name Columbia also means dove. All right? Dove, dove, dove. Well, if you go study in the Old Testament, you'll see the dove is always feminine, even with Noah's Ark. So the dove is a picture we know of the Holy Spirit. And remember when Jesus was baptized, he went into the River Jordan, symbolizing his death. And when he came up out of the water, a dove came down. Well, his resurrection out of the water represents his resurrection on the third day. Now, and down comes the second dove, because he's a dove too. He's actually showing the healing of leprosy there, which is Leviticus 14, the two doves. And we're going to, I wasn't intending to go there, but Tom told me just now that we are to go there, because I was moved into a house by the Father in February of 1994, and the address of the house was 204 Columbia. Huh. I wasn't sure exactly what Columbia meant at the time, so I looked it up in the dictionary and saw that it meant dove. Right next to it was another word that I instantly made note of for future reference, because the word right after it in the dictionary was this word, or almost right next to it, Columbine. This is February of 1994. Columbine is a flock of doves. A flock of doves? And it's a state flower of Colorado. So I began to watch for the flock of doves in Colorado way back then. By the way, at the funeral, which we'll come to, they released 13 doves for the 12 students and one teacher. And there were 70,000 at that funeral. 70 means restoration all through the Bible. The thousand is the glory of God. We'll fill in the details a little bit later. So I've known, and this is feminine. Columbia is a feminine form of the dove, because Columbus is the masculine. This is why Christopher, Christ bearer, Columbus, was the discoverer of America. The light of Christ was being brought by the dove, i.e. Jonah, right from the get-go. This is why the pilgrims had to suffer persecution in England, so they would flee to the Netherlands and come from the Netherlands directly to America, because Netherlands was settled by Zebulun, and Zebulun's the tribe that Jonah came from. So Jonah arrived here in 1620, but he couldn't be crowned king until 2010 for the second time. And 204 years, on September 23rd, a day I was waiting for years, last fall, the day we arrived in Sweetwater, okay? I flew, James made my reservations, I flew from Minnesota down to Chattanooga. And James made the flight arrangements on U.S. Airways. Remember U.S. Airways? The pilot, Hudson River.
Sullenberger.
Well, he and his co-pilot landed that plane with 153 crew and passengers on board, besides themselves. The news media said they landed at 1530 hours military time. 1530, and they were traveling at an airspeed of 153 knots. And I knew the U.S. Airways were now open to the message of the sons of God. And so it was amazing to me that when I landed in Chattanooga and James picked me up, he said, "You won't believe this. right next to I-75, but the only way in and out of the airport is on Highway 153. And then we know that the glory of God is appearing in the suns. I was speaking about that Sunday morning in Sweetwater, and our pilot light left. And he sent me a picture, because he had to leave and get back home. And he sent me a picture when he got to Nashville, because he flew out of Nashville. And there was a big cloud right over the airport exit sign with the sun kind of shining through. He said, this is unbelievable. And there you see the exit, Nashville Airport exit 216, with the cloud right above it, where the glory appears, remember? Because the glory appears on 216 in the cloud on the 16th of the second month. 204 years. What is it about the Louisiana Purchase? I began to look at the Louisiana Purchase in January of 1994 because of revelation regarding New Orleans, which was the headquarters of the French government over here at that time when that purchase was made. And the Louisiana Purchase resulted in the doubling of the land of the United States. It was a double portion. And what eventually happened, the purchase originated where? Out of the District of Columbia. Okay? The Dove. Lewis and Clark would eventually leave on May 14th, 1804, from the River of the Holy Spirit, the original name for the Mississippi. Because if you go to the Spanish maps, which you can still access on the Louisiana State website, you'll see the original name is Rio del Espíritu Santo, which is River of the Holy Spirit in Spanish. So they left from the River of the Holy Spirit on May 14th, 1804. Where'd they go? They wound up at the mouth of the Holy Spirit, the mouth of the Columbia. And they returned with the news of the double portion, beginning on September 23rd, 1806. And what it did, it set off the largest celebration in peacetime in the U.S. history. You can go online and read what happened. They had celebrations and balls and banquets from town to town to town because communication was so slow. But can you imagine the euphoria of the people? We are wealthy beyond our imagination. Well, it struck me, without going through a lot of preliminary detail, that the presidential election in 2000 was a repeat of the district or of the Louisiana Purchase. And the primary catalyst for that was the last debate between Gore and Bush that was held in St. Louis on the River of the Holy Spirit with 144 handpicked attendees. Now remember, the daughters are described as a capstone in Psalm 144, verse 12. How many weren't here yesterday? Bob, what are you confessing to? You're my security blanket.
Just like the rest of us, I have been through the wilderness of sin.
How do you top that? Impeccable. Yes, amen, buddy. All right. 144, tied to the timing of the resurrection and the tied always to the women. 144. Now, I had no idea how this Lewis and Clark manifestation would happen, but it happened in the Florida situation. And so go online and read today if you want. The two judges that decided in Florida on behalf of Bush and upheld by the Supreme Court were Terry Lewis and Nikki Clark. That is Lewis and Clark. This is a confirmation of a double portion coming in the Spirit, because it must come in the 42nd generation. And Bush is the middle of the 342 presidents. And this is unfolding. Now, we are having our second capstone meeting here. There is a displacement factor that has to be adjusted. And so the Father has ordained it that, well, I need to put this detail in as well. James and I were talking, where are you, James? Last July on the phone, and I suggested we're not going back to Sweetwater. And James had a flash during the conversation of where we should go in 2011. And he suddenly blurted out, St. Louis. He said, I feel we're going to St. Louis. Now, in my mind, St. Louis was the only place we could go. And I'll save that part, but St. Louis is on the river of the Holy Spirit. It just so happens that Tabernacles this year begins on 10/13. I believe that's a Friday, if I remember right. Could be wrong on that, but in St. Louis, all right? That just happens to be the 286th day of this year. The displacement factor is coming into alignment. Because remember I said this displacement factor has to be brought into alignment. There's an alignment coming with the sons and the daughters that's going to take a greater dimension on October 13th of this year, I believe. The first day of Tabernacles. Oh, it's a Thursday. Thursday is the 13th, yeah. Okay, thank you, George. The Father has spoken. Do we all know the Father's name is George, or are there some of you that don't? Bob, other than you, is there anyone that doesn't know the Father's name is George? Just kidding. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Well, just very quickly, look at James chapter 5, verse 7. James 5, verse 7. In the King James, it says, and you won't see this unless you have a King James Bible, because it involves the Strong's, because the words are changed in a lot of the newer versions. But in the King James, it says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. All right? So the husbandman is waiting for this fruit. Who's the husbandman? And who or what is the fruit? Jesus tells us exactly what they are and who they are in John chapter 15, verse 1 through 5, actually. But first thing he says in that chapter is, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, we know the New Testament was written in Greek originally. And we have a Strong's concordance. And the Strong's number for husbandman is the identical number in both James and John. So it's number 1092. And he says, we are the branches. All right? So we're the fruit. Our head, Jesus, and we, the body parts, are the fruit. And he is the husbandman. Well, if you look up the Greek word for husbandman, number 1092... In the Greek Strong's, it's the Greek word Georgios. What English word do we get from Georgios? George. Can you see how the Father selected the name George for himself? Who's behind all the words? The Father caused the Greek language to use the word Georgios for the word husbandman. See, the Father, and I said before, the Son appears in the 42nd generation from the Father. And that's why the father of our country was a husbandman, wasn't he? Was he George W.? The only state name for a president is Washington. It just happens to be the 42nd state. All right? Well, who is the 42nd man to be president? It was the Son. George W. I just report the news. Pardon? I'm just talking. Bill, anything you can share?
I knew there was something significant.
Yes. Well, and Bill Clinton before him. See, Bill Clinton is the 42nd president. Bill Clinton is the 42nd pres. I'll just say B.C. I always say that's before Christ. Number 42, G.W. is the 42nd man to be pres. And how about B.O.? It's a stinky situation right now, but stick around. B.O. is the 42nd man in the White House, because the father of our country never lived in the White House. He ruled from Philadelphia. By the way, this is why George W. had to have the son, had to have his convention in 2000 in Philadelphia, because he had to come through the same door as the father. This is why Barack had to go to a rock and roll concert in Philly the Sunday before he was inaugurated. Because at the resurrection, the rock is rolled away. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there was a rolling stone, wasn't there? Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just being scriptural, right, Art? Remember yesterday I said that the book of Joshua, wait till we get to the donkey part. You'll like that. Because I prefer the King James.
I don't doubt you. I'm just overwhelmed.
What if I told you that Jesus rode into the city of the Jews, Palm Beach, on a Democrat? Okay. Didn't he? Over a hanging Chad. I better not go further on that. All right. Rob, thanks for praying for me. I just picked up your thoughts. Okay. I can't share what I picked up from Bob. It's just too deep.
My mind was an utter blank.
I know. I waited and waited. Bob says, bring a book if you're going to read his mind. There's a lot of time between thoughts. Right, Bob? So. Yeah. Well, one of the great verses.
I have nothing to think about.
You're just an interface, aren't you? Yeah. Amen. All right. The double portion must appear in the 42nd generation. The 42nd generation. I had a revelation I received just this morning. You can look at something forever and not see it until it's time. This is our double portion. And I won't tell it to you quite yet, because I have a couple more things to say. Joshua, the Bible says, in Numbers 33, there was 41 movements of the camp of Israel under Moses. The 42nd and final movement out of the wilderness into the promised land was under Yeshua. Number 42. So Joshua, number 42, movement of the camp. If you had a movement while in the camp, you had to go outside the camp. That's another story. Okay. You know, the father's a husbandman. He's been spreading the seed of Christ over the whole earth for 2,000 years, hasn't he? But he told me one day, he said, what kind of husband would I be if I didn't use traditions mixed in with the seed? So he's used the traditions of man mixed in with the seed of Christ, because he's got a bumper crop coming, Art. Okay? I asked him once if he had some fertilizer burn in some areas. He said he was in control of that, not to worry. Okay. Joshua is a double portion, we know, because Joshua comes from the tribe of Ephraim. And Ephraim means a double portion of fruit. A double portion of fruit. I realized one day the numerical value of Jesus' name in the Greek language is 888. You multiply that times 2, you get 1776. That's Joshua. Well, what city do you think about with 1776?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Who founded Philadelphia? The Quakers, William Penn. Joshua was buried in Joshua 24:30 on the side of a hill called Gash, which means quaking. He was first Quaker. And who do you think founded the Quakers? George Fox, the father. Like father, like son. All right? So you got to have a quaking. Now, Elisha comes with the double portion ministry. Steve talked about him yesterday. The first thing he does, the water parts in the exact same location where it did for Joshua. The first thing that happens, two she-bears come out and tear 42 children. That's the double portion prophet. Remember that? Number 42. The double portion associated with Elisha again. He had 16 miracles. Elijah had 8.
Sarah Palin has been referred to as a she-bear.
Well, stay tuned. There's more coming. I don't want to go there today, but I believe personally, I may be wrong in this. The 16th and final miracle of Elisha was the resurrection of another man from his dead skull and bones. I have believed that perhaps Barack Obama may resurrect from the whitewashed sepulcher full of dead men's skull and bones. You know the skull and bones? GW was a member of that. Could it be that this 16th miracle will be the resurrection of another man from those dead skull and bones? And we'll see. And we'll know if that happens, won't we? 16 means love. You know, the Bible talks, Jesus talked about 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Which is the best? 100-fold. Could it be that there's a reason the address of the White House is 1600 Pennsylvania? The fullness of love is coming out of where? Well, the womb is an oval. Possibly the Oval Office. Is it an accident that the first colony that was founded in 1607 was Virginia, named for the Virgin Queen Elizabeth, who was Protestant, by the way? Its sister colony, Maryland, would come 25 years later. It was named for Henrietta Maria, the Roman Catholic French wife of Charles I, Maryland. The first two ships to Maryland were called Ark and Dove. The first ship to Virginia, one of the first three, was called the Susan Constant. The Susan Constant. Well, so what? Well, Susan is the English form of Shushan, which is the Hebrew word for lily. The word lily means trumpet. I wonder why. Jesus was born when? On the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Lilies. He doesn't rise as Easter petunia, does he?
No.
He's the Easter lily, because it represents the resurrection on the Feast of Trumpets. This word means it's a new voice, a new sound. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 2 said, "My beloved is a lily among thorns." Well, Jesus was the first lily among the thorns, which is the curse. You see, the lilies or the Shoshans or the Susans are the resurrected sons of God. When Jesus said, "Consider the lilies, they don't toil or spin. Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of you resurrected sons of God that are coming." It's just a matter of time. Now together, they formed, Virginia and Maryland would give the land that was originally a perfect baseball diamond shape, Washington, D.C. They would be the Virgin Mary. Virginia, named for the Virgin Queen, wow. Protestant, wow. Maryland, Catholic. It looks like a universal situation. All right, your mouth's open.
I can't comprehend all this. It's just too much.
The Virgin Mary is Virginia and Maryland. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, the womb's the Oval Office. The fullness of love is coming out of 1600. That's why Charles L. Enfant, the infant, had to be the designer of the city.
Charles
L. Enfant. Yeah, the infant. Christ is going to come out of the washing of the tongue.
Hey, Ron, Charles means manly.
Yes.
Manly and child.
Yeah, amen. Charles means manly. It's a picture of the man child. By the way, Rush Limbaugh has been calling Obama the man child president. I want to tell you, Manasseh is a type of the man-child, because Manasseh was the name that Hezekiah used to name his son. When Hezekiah was given 15 years of additional life, and he brought forth Manasseh. Okay? Now, he was given that promise when he was 39. Manasseh was born 3 years earlier. So what year in Hezekiah's reign would Manasseh have been brought forth? The number 42. This is a revelation I just received this morning. Manasseh was born when Hezekiah was 42. The double portion is on Manasseh, where you are right now. Because Manasseh is just the Greek form of Manasseh. This is a double portion coming out of here. It's a tremendous benchmark. Job, there's 41 chapters of pain and suffering. The 42nd and final is totally devoted to the double portion. And so it is. This 42, it's everywhere. This is why the first Gulf War lasted exactly 42 days and ended on the Feast of Purim in 1991. The Feast of Purim is where Esther, we're talking about Esther now, aren't we? And Mordecai overthrew Haman. Haman is the Agagite. Well, Saddam Hussein, in the first Gulf War, called himself Nebuchadnezzar. They had billboards in Iraq back then where he was doing that, saying he was called to overthrow Israel. And he was rebuilding the city of Babylon. And he didn't succeed, but he did play the role of Nebuchadnezzar, because in the second Gulf War, remember they caught him in the field? His hair was long. He had fingernails like talons. He was wet. The story of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel, when he was caught in the field. But he also was going to play the role of Haman, because the first Gulf War ended on the Feast of Purim. Haman's about the overthrow. Esther's about the overthrow of the money system. Because Haman is an Agagite. Haman. I believe it's number... I'm trying to remember if it's number... I think it's number 2001. Or 2000, I forget which, in the Strong's. There's a reason for that. It's a timing thing. In the book of Esther, if you go study it, you find that Haman cast lots, or Pur, to pick the day that he would hang Mordecai, who wouldn't bow down and worship him. Plus, he wanted all the wealth. Mr. Finance Minister. And... he wound up getting hung on the same day he picked. Well, the Bible says he picked the 13th day of the 12th month to hang Mordecai. Well, Saddam Hussein was caught on December 13th of 03. He was caught on the 13th day of the 12th month, the exact day Haman was hung. Okay? Thank goodness he built the gallows 50 cubits high, because there's a jubilee coming all the way around. And guess what? He was caught with all that money. Mordecai is the one that really upended him, and Esther carried out the front end work. And Mordecai's name means a worshiper of Mars. And when Haman, Saddam was caught, they said he was found with a Mars candy bar wrapper. That's a little too bizarre, isn't it? Mordecai, the very day. It's acting out everywhere. You can't make this stuff up. Now, Haman is an Agagite, and Agag, in the book of Samuel, Agag came from Amalek. Well, who's Amalek? Amalek is the grandson of Esau. God hated Esau. That's really not fair of God. Ken, where are you? Oh, Ken had a real serious problem with God last year for hating Esau in the womb. You know, that's really, and I think you use the word, that's a cheap shot even for the father. If I may quote you. It seems a bit unfair, because the father is so fair. But it's all working out. See, Amalek shows up in the Bible, the grandson of Esau, his dad's name is Eliphaz, whose name means, my God is fine gold. My God is fine gold. It's a love of money situation. And Amalek shows up in Exodus 17. This is right after the glory appears in Exodus 16. See, Amalek shows up before Israel even gets to Mount Sinai because they want all the wealth of Egypt that's to be used for the tabernacle for their own purposes. And there's a great battle that happens. And that's the battle where Moses' arms have to be held up. Remember that battle? And Aaron and Hur are holding up his arms. And it's only when his arms are imbalanced that the battle goes for Israel. Because Esau, i.e. Amalek, gets all the wealth with unjust weights and measures. That's what's been going on for a long time. The scales are like this right now. But there's a balancing act, and it's the first time Joshua's name shows up in the Bible in Exodus 17:9, because only Yeshua can overcome this love of money. And Yeshua, i.e. Joshua, leads Israel to victory. But you see Amalek show up later on with King Saul. Agag is the king of Amalek. Samuel instructs Saul to kill Agag, remember?
What a joke.
The king, and take all the best offerings, the sheep and the cattle, and sacrifice them unto the Lord. Samuel has a little delay, ordained, and Saul doesn't kill Agag because he's a trophy, you know. We converted the king. Forced conversion, you might say. And he gives God the retreads for the offerings. Of course, Samuel shows up, and what's he say to him? He says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, all right? And he says, stubbornness is as idolatry. And he says, your kingdom is going to be taken from you and given to another. Well, Saul represents the church. Why? Because Saul became king on the day of Pentecost. It was called the wheat harvest in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 12:17. He becomes king on that day. 1,000 years later, the church would start on the same day. Saul was from Benjamin, right? Well, God said the scepter will come from Judah. So either God lied when he said that hundreds of years earlier, or he forgot, or he set Saul up to fail. See, what's life in the old is death in the old is life in the new. There would come another Saul in the new covenant who would become Paul. And he would have a conversion on the road to Damascus. It's a Halloween costume party. By the way, the costumes are coming off of one of these Halloweens. The masks are coming off. And there's a conversion. What's life, death in the old is life in the new. God set the church up, can you hear this, to fail right from the beginning and gave them a love of money problem, gave all of that to all of us, because an Amalekite eventually takes credit for killing Saul. You see, Saul couldn't get rid of the love of money, so the love of money killed him. And he goes to David, think he's going to get a great reward, and David says, run him through. I'm not going to have anything to do with the love of money. That's the David company. That's what's unfolding right now. You know, you get everybody, if everybody's going to be saved, Rob Bell is like Brutus. The book came out on the Ides of March. Rome, Caesar is Rome, the head of the church. And one of their own has stuck a sword of the Spirit right in the heart of their doctrine. And they're going, I can see the money just raining out. You know? There go the tithes and the offerings. You give a lot less probably, the thinking is, if you're not motivated by fear. Fear is being cast out with the whole doctrine of universal reconciliation. Remember we said yesterday, you are is missing from the church by their own signs? And that's, you are is Hebrew for what? Light. It's the light of universal reconciliation. You are. But that's coming now. That is coming. And boy, it's about to accelerate. Well, Saul wasn't successful, and it was left for Mordecai and Esther, who come from the tribe of Benjamin. And they were in Persia. And Harry Truman called himself the American Cyrus. And I thought we would have a Hezekiah factor in looking at him back when a few years ago. And George W. is the 10th president, 10 degrees, 10 years, you might say, from Truman. And so what's he do? He invades Babylon, the 10th president, as the American Cyrus, 2003. So we have this unfolding with Cyrus. It gets a little murky because there's so many other symbols going on as well. But this is all happening. Everything's in order. Manasseh. This is what this is about. I just this morning saw that Manasseh was born in Hezekiah's 42nd year. This is a double portion coming on the Goyals. The soul, the mercy, the grace. Speaking of grace, I'm glad I brought that up. Thanks, Bob, for telling me. No, I just picked up his shortwave. He says, get to the good stuff. So, all right. In the beginning. Did I misspell something? In the beginning. Is there anybody in here that does not know what gematria is? Okay, Art. Our Father, which art. Gematria, Art. That is a term used to describe the application of numbers to letters. The Hebrews and the Greeks, the Old and the New Testament languages, both use their alphabets as numbers. So every word is the sum of the numerical values for each letter. It just so happens that the first three words in Scripture in the Hebrew, those letters add up to 911, 911. Do you think that the Father was planning 911 when he had Moses write the first three words of the Bible? That's 3,500 years ago. Now that's planning.
He's a God. God was into details, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, get a load of... There's more, Art.
You've got to write a book. I can't take all this in.
No, we're all living epistles. So... just get the tapes, the CDs or DVDs. All right. In the Greek language, which has been around for a few thousand years, the numerical value of the name Jesus is 888. You talk about truth. Don't worry about the Warren Report. It's 888 pages long. The truth is coming. Jesus is 888. Lord is 800. He's the Alpha Omega. That's one. Oops, excuse me. That's 1-800. We in Canada, our friends to the north, Cana, we have some Canaladians with us here. Our Manasseh brethren, the U.S. is Ephraim, and it would be incomplete without Cana, because they are Manasseh. Manasseh's population was one-tenth that of Ephraim, and Canada has consistently remained one-tenth the population of the United States. So, and we said we're Ephraim, but Joshua, Philadelphia, city of Joseph. Okay, what a coincidence. We have our phone systems. Thousands of years later, and those same numbers are toll-free calls. Well, guess what grace is? Grace is 911. Grace is 911. Now, this, for a lot of the kids here, we've actually gone through this dozens of times, literally, over the last many years. But because it is when it is, I guess, it'll be good to bring this refreshing. Into play right now. The glory of God is associated with what number?
1,000.
And what's the other number? 216. The glory of God appears on the 16th of the second month, 216. It's the light. It's going to be seen above you. That's why the arise, shine, for thy light is come. The Strong's number is 216. This is all on yesterday's message. And it appears out of your temple. 16 is love. 32 is covenant. That's why you have 16 teeth, top and bottom. Double portion of love. Spoken in wisdom on the four corners. Anchored on the four corners of your temple. The covenant spoken in love. Anchored in wisdom. All right? 216, 216, 216. It's the number of times the name Joshua occurs in Scripture. 216. That is the, okay, that is the 10th of the whole church, and the church is the moon. It just so happens our moon has a diameter of 2160, and so the Joshua Company is bringing the light of the sun to the moon. Bob Jones' great baseball game vision that he posted many years ago, he's taken up in the spirit. There's a baseball game going on, and it's the Lord's team against Satan's team. It's the last of the ninth. The score is 0-0. Satan's pitching, and the Lord tells Bob, there's two out. The next batter up is love, or the first batter that comes up is love. He says, love gets a base hit. Love never fails. I'm almost out of time, so I'm going fast. Love never fails. And he's on first. The next batter up is faith. Faith gets a base hit. The Lord tells Bob, faith always comes through. The next batter up is godly wisdom. He lets the first pitch go by. The umpire yells, ball one. The Lord tells Bob, godly wisdom will not swing at what Satan has to offer. So he gets the ball, four balls. Call it the ball four declaration. Bases are loaded. Next batter up, he says, it's my star. What's his name? His name is Grace. And Grace doesn't look like much. But he digs in and he said, Satan's team, whole team relaxed. They thought, we'll get out of here. Bases loaded, but there's two out. First pitch, Grace crushes it to dead center. Prince of the air is playing center. He goes to the wall, but the ball hits him on a head, goes off his glove, over the wall. It's a grand slam. And the Lord tells Bob, love, faith, and godly wisdom will get you on base, but only my grace will get you home. And this is what's coming in America now. If any of the others would have won the game, you would have thought you did it in your own power. You see, 911 is a numerical value of grace. And on 911, the Father hit a grand slam. Can you see this? 911, a grand slam was hit. Washington, D.C. is shaped like a perfect baseball diamond. In the original city, look at a map. Can you visualize it? We'll bring them. I got a map.
And the Pentagon is right at home plate.
The Pentagon is always home plate in every baseball diamond. Guess what the square area of a pentagon is? Oops. Square area of every home plate is 216 square inches. Every baseball has 216 red stitches. Joshua's pitching. Do you think our Father has an eye for detail? That's a double portion of love, 216. To bring forth the covenant. Minnesota is a 32nd state. It's a picture of the covenant state, 216. We will celebrate our 153rd anniversary of statehood on May 11th. This is about Christ coming up in our hearts as brand new. I've called Oregon, the state that followed Minnesota, the new Oregon since 1994. Why? The new Oregon to me is the new heart. Oregon became a state on Valentine's Day, 2/14, 1859. Exactly, if you count May 11th as day one of 1858, exactly 280 days later, or the full 40-week gestation period for the birthing. The new organ, the new heart. Do you understand that this is a timing? This is all unfolding right before our eyes. Not to worry, because the Father is bringing the Goyles into full recognition. And ain't nothing going to stop it. You see, it's the woman that births the man-child. It was the first Eve came out of the first Adam. But in the new covenant, the last Adam comes out of the last Eve. The last Adam comes out of the last Eve. Eve had a name before she was called Eve. Her name is in Genesis 2:23, where she's called woman. You'll see the woman capitalized there. That's her name. She's never named Eve until Genesis 3:20. And that's after the fall. Genesis 3:17 through 19, the curse has been pronounced on the earth upon Adam. Thorns and sweat, remember? He's in the garden, right? The ground is cursed in the garden. Eve's named for the first time, the mother of all living, in the next verse, 3:20. Oh, she the mother of all living? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, in Christ, Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive. All are made alive. She was going to have much sorrow and childbearing. Well, the man of sorrows is called Jesus. Turn with me for a second to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Actually, it says in verse 13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was first formed, then Eve. Next verse. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notice it doesn't use Eve's name the second time in the second verse, but it does use Adam's. See that? Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman. We're not addressing her as Eve now. In the next verse, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Who's the only woman that was ever saved in childbearing? Mary. Mary bore the Christ child, for in Christ all are made alive. When did Eve's name change to Mary? Well, guess what? Jesus was born on September 29th in 2 BC, which is Rosh Hashanah in that year. If you back up 280 days, you come to Christ Mass Eve. You see, you don't become Mass at birth, you become Mass at conception. Mary, Eve, Christ Mass Eve became Mary. Mary, the new Eve. Because the last Adam, Jesus, came out of the last Eve, Mary. Eve was called woman before the fall. She's called woman after the restoration. Turn with me for just a second, John chapter 2, verse 1. John chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Cana occurs 153 times in Scripture, that word. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman. Notice woman is capitalized?
Yes.
She's the new Eve. It's the third day. The marriage is on the third day. He's showing that he comes as Joshua, the new wine, because Ephraim means a double portion of fruit. He's the fruitful one. He says, it's not my time yet. That's 2,000 years from now. But he calls her woman. Let's see a parallel to this in John chapter 19. Jesus resurrects where? In the garden. Now he reversed the curse in the garden. That's why he fell face first to the earth in the garden of Gethsemane. And guess what? Once he sweat, he had the curse on him. Because sweat was a sign of the curse. Once he sweat, he's dead. He's mortal. It's just a matter of time. And when he fell face first to the earth, and you can read this in Luke 22:44, Matthew 26:39, you'll see he reversed the curse in the garden. He took the curse of death upon himself. He walks out of the garden. They put the crown of thorns on him. He's got the full enchilada now. But he resurrects where? In the garden on the third day. All that's going on in your heart, by the way, the new organ. And who's he see there? Mary. Let's go to John chapter 19. Chapter 20. You can start with verse 11. We'll jump right down to, she doesn't know who he is. Verse 15, what's Jesus say unto her? Woman, capitalized. She's still Mary, but she's called woman. She's the last Eve. It's the third day, right now. We can see him. See, Mary means rebellion, in our rebellious, bitter state, he's letting us see him, but we can't touch you. He says, don't touch me. Don't touch me. This time, she doesn't disobey like Eve did in the first garden, because she wanted a tree to make one wise. She is the embodiment of wisdom. We won't have time to go there, but she is wisdom. She obeys. She doesn't touch him. And then, guess what? In John 20:16, he calls her by her new name. Mary. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. In 20:16. If you can hear that. Thank you very much.
We hope you've enjoyed the preceding presentation produced by Stone Kingdom Ministries. It is only through your generous support that this ministry continues. Thank you for sustaining us. For a sample copy of our publication and a catalog of resources available, write to Stone Kingdom Ministries, Post Office Box 5695, Asheville, North Carolina, zip code 28813. You may also visit us online at stonekingdom.org.